Next Chapter Podcasts.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to another edition of Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. I'm your boy, Double J, Jock Jones.
And I'm LaTroy Hawkins.
This show is called Thick Skin because you have to have thick skin to be in the spotlight. Whether you're a professional athlete like me and Hawk, who played in the bigs, or you're an entertainer, the media will come after you.
So you better be ready. We're here to tell it like it is, correcting the media when they get it wrong, and dive deep into the world of sports, all sports and entertainment from an athlete's perspective.
We got a great show for here today. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get this thing cracking, Hawk.
Yes, been a very interesting week and around sports and everything else that's going on in the world. Let's talk about Ja Morant back after his suspension from the NBA for his gun-toting antics. But okay, during his interview, he said, quote, wouldn't say he regrets being suspended by the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, for the second time in the span of 4 months. In the end, I feel like it made me better, Morant said. I feel like I've learned some stuff about myself that I did during that process. Very eye-opening. It kind of gave me a new look on life and how to go about my days, how I carry myself. Okay. And it sounds like the young man did a little reflection and understood that whether he wants to be or not, he's actually a role model.
Right.
Kids that look up to Ja Morant.
Yep.
I got two nephews here in Texas, Edward and Elijah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'll always support the young man. I bought them his shoes about 2 months ago when they were super excited. And they still said that we talked about the gun incident and, you know, the things he did wrong. And you know what? It's funny. They're 7 and 9. They could care less.
Right.
They just, you know, bounce a basketball and dunk on guys and shoot threes. So, but I'm glad he had a chance to reflect on, you know, understanding that he has a moral responsibility, I think, to not be so reckless in his mm-hmm. personal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was watching the show this morning. They were talking about the same exact thing where they were saying, like, you know, people make the point of he didn't break any rules. You know, he didn't break any laws. No, he didn't break any laws. But he broke the laws within the NBA realm. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's their business. That's their cash cow. That's how they, you know, that's how they promote their sport. And so, you know, he had to sit down and think about it. And he had to sit down longer than, you know, the 4 or 5 games that he had to sit down for the first time. And I think, you know, like you said, being able to sit down and reflect and see that the game of basketball is going to go on, whether he's a part of it or not. The team's going to go on, whether he's a part of it or not. I think he looks at things from a different perspective now.
You know what? On the flip side, I remember us talking about this when it was going on. And and I talked about, I was one of the ones that said, you know, he didn't commit a crime. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if, what if the gun wasn't real?
Right.
Does that give him a pass? And also, I'm a hunter. So the next, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with, you know, whatever, because I will hunt. I hunt deer, and I'll be the first to tell everybody I will harvest an animal. But when you see these white athletes on their social media pages with their AR-15s or their rifles and their dead, their I don't like to use the word dead, their harvested animals, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to half the world, to three quarters of the world, that's the most demonic thing you can do is kill another, you know, an animal mm-hmm. to some people. Mm-hmm. And I look at Ja, he didn't kill anybody.
Nope.
He didn't kill anybody. He waved a gun in the air. Still don't know if the gun was real or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Adam Silver knows if the gun was real. But at the end of the day, like, what separates the two? Because where he was when he brandished the gun, if he came out tomorrow and posted on his picture, he harvests a deer like some of the hunters in the NBA.
Right.
What do you think the reaction would be that you would get that we would get from the fans?
It wouldn't.
Why does he even have a gun?
Right. I think we talk about context, right? Context is everything, right? You see these guys in these pictures with, like you said, harvested animals, or they're hunting, or they're standing by a gun and something. You understand what I'm saying? But he's, and not that it makes it better or worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's in a video waving a gun and listening to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know why the difference is made, but, you know, I would guess that they're looking at the context of the situation.
The context? Or are we looking at the context of the situation, or are we looking at the color of his skin?
It might be some of both.
Okay. Just checking, because, you know, just because he's in a strip club and he has a gun doesn't mean he's using a gun. And just because he's in a car with the gun, we don't know. It could have been a BB gun. We have no clue what gun that was, whether real or not. Mm-hmm. But I understand the perception is everything. Mm-hmm. But if the NBA, and you know what? I'm the type of dude, man, I hate talking about other sports, you know, how they conduct their business, the NBA, NFL, you know, soccer, hockey. But at the end of the day, these type of issues are all the same, because that could have been you or I. You know, I can go to the gun range and go shoot and pop, 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 and post it on my Instagram. And then people are, you know, what are you doing with a gun? Well, one of my teammates who of a different skin tone can do it, and they're the greatest guy. You know, they're, don't tread on me.
Right.
You know, it's a real slippery slope, man. But hopefully he learned his lesson. He's a little bit more responsible when it comes to what he's posting on his Instagram. I didn't like the fact that he is the one that went live. He went live. He threw his own self under the bus.
That's, again, we talked about that too. Like, the people you're around, like, your friends are supposed to protect you regardless of whatever the situation is. Like, yes, he went live, but your friends are supposed to tell you, like, yo, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're being watched. People are watching you. Like, we let us do this. You know what I mean? You get to the background, let us do this. So, two, it's the circle of people that you're around. Like, you know, we said, we wouldn't let each other tote guns on a live or have guns. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just didn't do, we weren't in places where we needed guns to tote. You know what I'm saying? We weren't. We was never in places where we needed guns.
We didn't sit in some shady places now, Double J. Come on now.
But we weren't doing nothing where we would have needed guns. You understand what I'm saying? Or else we wouldn't have been there.
I get that too, but that don't mean that we'd have had one, we wouldn't have felt a little safer. You know, I'm just saying, like.
But we would, I get it, but we wouldn't have been pulling it out. Like, when you pull it out, you got to use it. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
So
this is true.
Nobody need to know you got it, just long as you know.
Yeah, this is true. But thank God we didn't have social media.
Mm-mm.
Thank God we didn't have social
media. Yeah.
Well, that ended well for us. But all in all, it's great to have Ja Morant back in the NBA, doing what he loves to do.
Yep.
He's indicated to everybody who's listening, everybody who's reading, that he found out a lot about himself during his time. Mm-hmm. He's worked on himself. He understands his responsibility of being a role model to so many.
Yep.
And, you know, I just hopefully, you know, this last incident was the last incident that he has in his career, and he can just go on and, you know, continue to strive to be, you know, one of the faces of the NBA, because he is a very, very talented young man.
That he is. For sure he is.
And we're going on to our boy Zion Williamson. How about that? How about Stephen A. Smith criticizing him, man, about his weight?
Going off on him, bro. Going off.
And I always said when he was, I had some, my little nephews, and he was in high school. They was like, oh, you got to see this kid, Zion. And he pull him up on YouTube. And it's like, I'm like, wow, this dude is incredible. He's a freak of nature. Like mm-hmm. his jumping ability, his explosiveness is Charles Barkley-esque. Yep. And people understand like Barkley had those type of ups and Barkley was shorter, but just as explosive. And I always thought like he was one bad offseason away from being a little bit overweight, just a little bit. I always thought that.
Yep.
But the good thing is about NBA players, basketball players, period, they're doing so much running. Mm-hmm. They can kind of like mask it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on to Duke for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Then he gets drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in the NBA. He's 19 years old and he gets hurt. He can't hang out with his teammates. He can't go out and hang out with them in the club.
Right.
Not many places you can go. I'm not sure what the dynamic is of an NBA clubhouse. I don't know if it's like the Major League clubhouse where we, you know, really good chance we're embracing the young guys.
Right.
You know, we're bringing them in. We're making them feel special being a part of the team. I don't know if that's the same culture over there. I hope it is. Don't know. But he talks about being in a dark place while he was injured. I don't know if, like, people really understand how mentally challenging it is to be a professional athlete and get hurt.
Right.
And especially when you're the guy Zion Williamson is, because top pick in the draft, you know, they had already, like, he could be, you know, he's a game changer. He's this. The expectations are so high,
mm-hmm.
then you get in, you're hurt.
Yep.
Now you got to sit out an extended amount of time. And what people have to understand, his injury wasn't to his shoulder or his wrist or his elbow, any of that. It was to his foot.
Right.
And he can't do any conditioning with a bad foot, I don't think. And did he gain some weight? Sure he did. He's a young kid in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young kid in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And then for Stephen A. Smith to talk about, he was able to see his roles over his uniform and why he can't be like LeBron James and this and that. LeBron James was built like that in freaking high school, man. And total different genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even fix your lips to say why he can't be like LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James is a once in a lifetime generational talent and specimen. Does he do a lot to keep his body in shape so he don't be hurt, have those catastrophic injuries? Yes. But you know what? A lot of times that's just part of the game, getting injuries, and he's been able to avoid that. So luck has been on his side. Luck hasn't been on Zion's side up to this point.
No, but here's two. I was thinking about this. Like the video they had of Stephen A. when he was hitting the mitts with his trainer, right? He was big as a house in that video, and he was unorthodox and he was clumsy, right? People were making fun of him about that, and then he defended himself about that. Whatever, right? He was going through something. He was overweight. He was going to get a handle on that, right? Shaq. I would venture to say Shaq's in better shape now than he was towards the middle of his career.
Yeah,
when he was. Still a dominating force, still a dominating presence, but could he have been even better with being in better shape? Probably so. You understand what I'm saying? But it took him some time to understand and realize, hey, man, yeah, I let myself go. I wish I would have got myself in a better shape or have myself in a better shape. But they're not giving this kid any grace to learn from, get better from, or act on what's going on now. And the other part is, like you said, mental health. Man, you guys are talking about this guy's weight. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what he's going through. You don't know how he's feeling. You don't know how he's feeling about his weight. You don't know how he's feeling about being able to lose a weight or being able to gain a weight or whatever the situation is. Y'all keep heaping more crap on top of this kid's plate, right? You guys don't know what he's going through. You don't know what he's going through. We could make it worse. This kid needs support. He was hurt. You understand? Like John Morant, but a different situation. You're taking away something from him that he's been doing since he was a little kid. He can't do it. He couldn't do it because he was hurt. You don't know how that affected him. But now you heap in this crap on top of him about his weight, shit, he might feel worse. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, I say, you know, give this kid some grace. Let him, I mean, he's grown into his body. Sometimes there's nothing you could do about it. Sometimes it is, but let's wait and see. Support him. You know what I'm saying? Give him some positive feedback. Hey, man, yeah, could you stand to be in better shape? Let's get to it.
Right. And Zion came out and said, it's been like that since I was 16 years old, mm-hmm. since I came onto the scene. Mm-hmm. If I want to be one of the best players in the league, if we don't win in a big moment or if something bad happens, that's to be expected, said Williams. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, you're right. I give him some grace. He understands that he needs to work on his conditioning, and I'm sure he's working on his conditioning. Mm-hmm. I think the further away you get from your playing days, the easier everything that you went through and what you're seeing guys go through today gets, like, that much more simpler. And that's not true.
It's not.
I would be the first to tell you these guys are better than I was as far as the ability to throw the ball hard, you know, the ability to spin the ball. Now, there are some things in my career that I know I'm better than, you know, the guys are playing now. I was better at, like, better command.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, it's hard to be an older guy and continue to criticize the young guys.
Right.
And it's okay to like, look at their mistakes, explain their mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm doing TV, like, it's really hard for me to blast a player. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, this is what he should have done, mm-hmm. could have did. Mm-hmm. What he did was not the right play. That wasn't the right play. You know, hitting the cutoff man is the right play there and making sure that he makes a good throw to cutoff man so the cutoff man can, you know, make that throw to home instead of him trying to throw the ball all the way home.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way. Mm-mm. But they don't – they just – you're right. I think they were cutting way too deep on Zion. And is he a big – he's a big man.
It's easy from the – it's easy from the couch or the chair or the stands. The game is easy because you could have, would have, should have. And why are they doing this? But the game moves so fast, whether it be the NFL, whether it be Major League Baseball, whether it be the NBA, whether it be hockey, whether it be soccer, the game moves so fast, man. So what you see is not actually really what you see because the game is moving so fast, but it slowed down because you're sitting in on the couch. Like, why didn't you see that? You can see there's open guys on every play that I can see from the couch. But when you in the mix, boy, you can't see that.
No, everything is happening so fast, and that's like quarterbacks. They're like, oh, he was wide open.
Yeah, and as wide open as he is, you as the criticizer still couldn't get the ball to him. So let that man do his job.
In your opinion, what responsibility does Zion take in the criticism?
Right.
If there's any, because we already established, like, he's young. He came in the league. He was hurt. He said in 2022, where, you know, being an injured like that, coming into league, trying to make an impression on his team and the league, and he's hurt. You know, like, what responsibility does he have in that equation?
I think the responsibility that he has is to come in the best shape possible, right?
I like that possible way.
Come into the season in the best shape possible, right? He owes it to himself. He owes it to the team, right? The other thing is, if you hurt, you're hurt. One thing to be injured, one thing to be hurt. No one knows. You know, there's a fine line. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're hurt, mm-hmm. get healthy. Because the only thing you can do is, more times than not, make it worse. And then you're no good to yourself or the team. So you owe it to yourself to get yourself healthy, and you owe it to yourself to come into camp season in the best shape possible. There's no excuses.
Just you saying that, like, I don't think I ever came into baseball. Like, it's impossible to go into baseball and be in shape, baseball season and spring training.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
Only way I can be in shape in spring training is if I put on my spikes in December, go stand in the grass. That's the only way I can be in shape for 2 hours.
But you can be... And, like, you can work out in the off season, get into good shape, But then you have to, there's a difference between being in shape and being in baseball shape.
Right.
Being in shape and being in basketball shape.
That's so key, Jock. I don't think the fans really get that. And I don't know if the media gets that when you talk about being in shape and being in your specific sport shape.
Yep.
And a lot of times in baseball, hell, I didn't get in shape until like, my arm didn't get in shape until like May sometime. A month old in May, now I got a 6 ERA. Right. But so now I'm getting in shape, so now I'm going to start knocking that down. But you're right. There's a difference being in shape and being in your specific yep. sports shape.
Yep. So,
and when people understand that, I think that's a, I think that's some more to really elaborate on in the conversation, because I think it does go unnoticed because people talk about shape and they don't understand like what shape. Like, I mean, my cousin, a bodybuilder, he in shape, but can he do yep. a push-up? Can he do body weight? Can he do a pull-up? Mm-hmm. No. He's in shape to lift 450 right. pounds or squat whatever amount of pounds. That's what he's in shape for. He's not in shape to come over and throw a baseball or run a guy down from the linebacker position, meet a running back mm-hmm. in the hole. So there's levels to it. Like, there's levels right. to everything. Levels to everything. But you know what? You know, the podcast, we talk about like, you know, getting it straight. And like the media, sometimes they get it so wrong and they're so critical, like, God, so critical. And I'll never forget when I was in Chicago, man. And I did that press conference and talking to the media, and I told them, man, I could do your job. You can't do mine.
Right.
I can do your job.
But they'll make the excuse, right? Well, we're not getting paid to do your job for a reason.
You went to 4 years to university. I went to 4 years in the minor leagues.
And athletes are getting paid to do analyst jobs. They're paid to do sports anchors jobs. But no sports anchors right. are getting paid to do Zion Williamson's job. You understand what I'm saying?
No. You know, what do you think about the in-season tournament that – they have in the NBA. And Jock, when I tell you, bro, I watch zero NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch it at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not an NBA fan. Mm-hmm. I respect every athlete in the NBA. I expect what they do, and I'd be the first one to defend them. Mm-hmm. But I don't like the game. I don't like the game. I love college basketball. I am a KU fan, mm-hmm. and any other college, D1 college, D2, D3, women's, D1, D2, D3, I'm watching anything college basketball, I'm in on it.
Right.
And I look at it that way because if I'm watching that much college, I don't have any time to watch the NBA.
Right.
And when guys from KU get drafted and go to the NBA, I don't watch anymore. And I've been like that the last 13 years. Right. And I grew up a big basketball fan, big NBA guy, man. Season tickets to the Mavs. You know, I was always trying to get over to Chicago to watch the Bulls and Jordan growing up. Mm-hmm. And 2010 hit, man, and I was like, let me see if I can live without this. And I do. I'll watch the game on Christmas because when everybody's gathered around, everybody want to watch the game, but I'm not. I'm such a KU fan in college basketball, and that's what I'm rolling
with. I'm the same way, man. I'll watch bits and pieces here and there when there's nothing on TV. I'll watch, but I'll click in the playoffs, but I click in the playoffs in every sport. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like 82 games, like especially with this load management thing that was going on the last handful of years, right? Teams are just jockeying through the season to stay healthy and keep guys fresh to get to the playoffs. So some nights you don't see, you know, your favorite player play because they're taking a night off, which is whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Major League Baseball, same way.
So do you say whatever because – you don't like it, or what is that? Explain your whatever, Jock Jones, because I would like to have a conversation about this.
My whatever is, you need a night off, take it off. Who am I to say that you don't deserve a night off? Whatever, right? Who's to say? I can't tell you when you need a night off. You know, you understand what I'm saying? But not playing back-to-backs and all that, like, whatever. I grew up on guys playing, showing up to play every night. Unless they were hurt or borderline, you know, sick or whatever, know, whatever, but not just, oh, I need a night off. Cool, take the night off. So again, I dial it in the playoffs because guys are playing.
Hey man, I know you way too well. Okay. Why are you being so politically correct? Say what you want to say right now. Say that you do not condone the low management.
I cannot tell a man when he needs to take a night off, bro. Like I can't tell him that. If that's what he feels like,
your money to see him play.
I mean, guys are paying money to see him play, and they're not playing. But do they owe it to the fan to suit up and play every night? Do they? They don't owe it to him.
Nope, not at all.
It was like a crapshoot to buy tickets to watch your favorite player play with low management. No, it's like a crapshoot.
Yeah, it is.
So,
but I'm down for it.
That's what I'm saying. I can't tell you when to take a night off. I can't tell you when you're tired. And we were talking about Zion Williamson earlier. I can't tell you when. Only you know. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how your body feels. Right. I can say you look healthy with the naked eye. You look healthy. How come you're not playing? But I can't tell you.
That laugh right there.
I can't tell you that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm a huge fan of the load management. I am. Mm-hmm. Just because, and for me, when I talk about load management, I don't like to use myself because I'm going to brag a little bit. I got 1,042 games pitched in Major League Baseball, man. And plenty of days I went out there and I felt like shit. I didn't feel good at all.
Absolutely right.
And I can't say, well, I shouldn't have pitched because I felt like shit. But I did and I was fine. But think about some of the other guys who pushed themselves way past the limit and it didn't benefit them. And we didn't have the say-so as to when, like, you know what, you know, hey, TK, I'm a little tired. I need a day off. You'd have had more than one day off.
For sure. Hey, you think Wally Pitt would ask for a day off if he would have known that he was never going to play again?
You're right. If he'd have known, he probably wouldn't ask for that day off.
I'm telling you.
I do understand the low management when it comes to, like, because again, I think about guys playing every dang on day, and it's like, especially in baseball, man. Like, can you imagine you guys would have took some time off to recover and then went back out there, but it doesn't work that way in baseball. Oh. The recovery thing, like, I think the survival or the fittest are the guys who can do it back to back to back to back to back.
Right.
What we're finding out, rest is essential. Rest is essential.
But listen, in all seriousness, that's why I'm saying, like, I can't tell another man if he's tired. I can't tell another man, you know, whether or not he should play every night or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't say that.
Right.
You do what's best for you and your career. Because again, like, once you have the hammer, put it down. You know what I'm saying? Because when the organization gets a hammer, you got no say-so.
There you go.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't tell. That's on you. Whatever happens from that is entirely on you. Because once they get the hammer back from you, they're going to put it down on you and not going to think anything twice about it.
Because if you're going out there tired or you're going out there hurt,
right,
when it's time to negotiate, they're not going to take that time, that those games that you were tired or those games that you were actually hurt, into consideration in negotiation.
They are.
They're not going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. But they're going to use them against you.
Right. They're going to use it against you. Correct. So moving on from from that
to big money.
Tiny. I think about, like, the way we were brought up in the game. Like, you don't give them a. I won't even say give them a discount. You don't work with them to sign you. You don't work with them. Mm-mm. Like, you get them.
Yeah.
You get them.
Yes.
Like, you get them for every cent that you can get them for.
Yes.
Like, when did players start helping out to the team? When did that happen?
Man.
When did the change of the guards or whatever you want to call it, when did that start happening?
Bro, honestly, Big Bro, I got no idea when that happened because, like, again, we talk about having the hammer. The team has the hammer the first 6 years of your career, right? In baseball, because I don't really know how basketball and football works. Well, football too is worse, right? Football and hockey, probably the two worst. But I do know, like I had a conversation the other night about Albert Pujols, right? Albert Pujols played to an MVP level for the first, 4 or 5 years of his contract. Nobody said, hey man, let's pay him the MVP level. You know, the equivalent of the MVP level, let's pay him that while he's going through that. They paid him the minimum. The minimum of what they had to pay him, they paid him. When he got to free agency, he dropped the hammer.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So when you're coming up through the bushes and you're making it and you're finding your way and you're establishing yourself, nobody says, hey man, this rookie's playing to a high level. Let's tear up this contract and let's pay him like other high level guy. They don't say that, right?
No,
you're never worth what you make on the low end or the high end, right? Because on the high end, now they expect you to double your career output, and your career says you are what you are. 30, 40 homers, 280, 290, 100 RBIs. That's who you are. Whether it be 70 million, 100,000, 30 million, that's who you are. But people expect, when you get more money, right?
100 home runs and 200 RBIs in one
season.
That's
what you're supposed to do. So,
yeah,
like, did he help the Dodgers out? I don't know, Hawk. I don't know. Did he? Did he help them out? I don't know. But 700 million is 700 million.
Yeah, but he helped them out with the collective bargain, the luxury tax and all that. And, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when did we start looking out, like, how many more games do you think the Dodgers are going to win with Ohtani?
Maybe 10.
So they're going to win 110 games instead of 100.
Yep.
110.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I'll say 10. 10 more. But then October roll around. I'm close in San Diego, right? And I'm a Padres fan. I was born and raised Padres fan, right? They win 100 games a year. I always tell my friends, right? And I'm going to catch some flack for this, but I always tell my friends, the Dodgers are going to go 1,000,062. Like to do every, they're going to win 1,000,000 games and lose 62. But then October rolls around.
Are you one of the ones that also said, well, they won a World Series? Oh, well, in the COVID year, they won a World Series. Well,
listen, World Series is a World Series. They won it. They won it fair and square. Everybody played the same amount of games. Hey,
okay.
They won it fair and square. COVID or not, they're 2020 World Series champs.
I'm with
That's
you.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not a fan, so I can easily say, like, you know what?
I get it.
60 game schedule, you know, but you're right. Everybody else has 60 games also.
60 games.
But. COVID year, man. You only did so much traveling. You only can go here, play these amount of teams. It was just so weird.
And everybody was under the same.
I know, but when you're playing teams in your division that are, then you get another team like the American League East where all the teams are pretty decent. Like, what are your chances?
But Hawk, that happens in 162 game season. It's just more games. I get it, but they've won 10 straight National League West championships, right? Yep. Counting COVID, they won 10 straight. So it doesn't matter if it's 60 games, 85 games, 162 games. They're going to win 1,000,000 games, bro, and lose 62.
Spoken from a true Padre fan. You're so terrible.
I got a bunch of Dodger fans as my friends, and we go back and forth with it. I have fun with it. So, I have fun with it. And I tell them, I've seen this movie, this sequel, like 10 times.
You've seen it more.
Yeah, more than that. But you're going to win the West, but then October rolls around. In October.
Yeah, I'm just still like, I can't wait to see how many more games Ohtani adds to that.
But I'm glad he got paid, bro.
Oh yeah, I just don't like the fact that he deferred all that money with no compound interest or anything. Man, like, Jesus,
they didn't want another Bobby Bowles situation. But you know what though? Talking to people, some financial guys, right? And then reading a couple articles of you know, guys deferring money and getting points on their money, and then when it comes time to pay, the Dodgers under Frank McCourty went bankrupt before they sold to the new group, right? So really, they couldn't pay the people who were owed money because they were bankrupt. Mario Lemieux was the same in Pittsburgh, right? They couldn't pay him. He got a small percentage of ownership in the Penguins. So when they sold him, he ended up getting his money back and some. But you run the risk of, if something happens 10 years down the line, like all your money's tied up. So, hey, got to think about that too. I know you don't matter today, but it might in 15 years from now.
Let me make the money out. Let me make some interest off of it. Not you. That's what I'm saying. But you know what? I ain't never signed for $700 million either. Nope. A little different.
Nope. Me either.
But again, you think he's going to give them 10 more wins?
And once he gets healthy and pitches again, they'll win 10 more games a year with him, I believe.
So with his bat, they'll win how many? Because they didn't have a problem scoring runs. They just had a problem scoring runs in
October. Yeah. I mean, but even still, he'll win some games with them with his bat. Some more.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's fair. As some people say, that's fair. It's interesting, man. Like, he's going to make $50 million in endorsements off the field.
Right. Crazy.
But I think that's cool because he is the product of a two-country guy, you know, with Japan and the United States.
That's right.
And again, it was only a handful of teams that he really could have signed with.
Yep. Realistically.
Dodgers, Mariners, maybe because of the Japanese connection, I think, in ownership.
The Giants.
Giants. Mm-hmm. Boston.
And the Mets.
Mets or Yankees. Right. Any of those teams has all those cities that we name, they have a Japanese influence in all those cities. Right. And as we know from past experience, the Japanese guys, they want to be somewhere where they have a Japanese influence. Right. Rightfully so, because they don't speak the language. They have to have interpreters. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. Like, the guys from Japan, Kenta Maeda was with us with the Twins the last couple of years, and Kenta had a masseuse. He had a strength and conditioning guy. Mm-hmm. He had another masseuse. Mm-hmm. He had a guy to put his socks on. He had a guy to put his shoes on for him. He had a guy to tie shoes. He had a guy to go get his jerseys. He had a guy for everything. It's like when he walk in a clubhouse, it's almost like he come in with an entourage.
God bless him.
God bless him. You're right. Well, Jay, Double J, is always good chatting, brother.
Always a pleasure, Hawk. Always look forward to it, man.
Another great episode. Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. And we out this piece.
Peace.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Next Chapter Podcasts.